Joining us now from the fourth period, he joins us every Friday at 2 o'clock, and he's not shying away today either. He is Dave Pignota. How's it going, pal?
Not too bad, boys. How's the real center of the hockey universe?
There we go.
Yeah, well, you came under fire. You were trending in Vancouver. You're a big deal here now.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, no, I definitely the shots fired were fantastic. So I appreciate that I was trending. Luckily, I got the armor up, so it was good.
Well, now you know, though. Listen, Vancouver's following you on Twitter. That is for there's no ifs, ands, or buts there.
Yeah, yeah. If I had any doubt, it was definitely, you know, tossed out the window after last night. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely didn't go unnoticed. No Vancouver Twitter account goes unnoticed. Like they don't miss anything Canucks related anytime, anywhere. So last night was no different.
You know what? I love the passion, though. Absolutely love the passion.
That's what Vancouver's got a lot of for their Canucks. Yeah. You can find him on Twitter at the fourth period. He is Dave Pignota. And you know what? Quinn Hughes might just be coming into a playoff race here for the Canucks after their win last night.
It could be. You know, but Vancouver's still definitely in the mix, and that's what they're pushing. And they're pushing with the young guys. You know, they want to maintain the pace. They're certainly not going out. Jim Benning's not going out and trying to bring in some rentals to kind of enhance their positioning. He's not going to give up the assets, the draft picks, other prospects. He wants this team to keep things going intact. Now, if there's a hockey deal to be made, he'll certainly be taking a look at that. But this is a great opportunity and a great learning experience for the young core of this team, for Bo Horvat, for Brock Besser, for Elias Pettersson, and so on. This is a great opportunity for these guys to learn from this run. And, you know, all season, everyone's kind of been waiting, myself included, for them to kind of just fall back a little bit. But they've been maintaining their pace of play, which is certainly the most impressive part of this whole season so far.
Yeah, there may be young guys coming in terms of Quinn Hughes, as you mentioned as well, at some point. There's an older gentleman that's making his way out to California right now. Luke Shen has been called up, and the injuries keep on happening for the Vancouver Canucks. Alex Edler, we know Chris Tanev. What does Luke Shen still have in the tank is my question.
That's a lot of people's question. We're certainly going to see. he wants to prove that he can still compete, at the NHL level. And certainly, you know, when you're in a situation where you start to get a little bit more depleted on the back end, at least you've got a veteran that can come in there who's played a long time in the National Hockey League, who you know, certainly knows the ropes, may have been, you know, lost a step or two. But this is a good opportunity, if utilized properly, for him to kind of get back and gain a little bit of confidence in himself as well to perhaps maintain, the level that is the National Hockey League now versus when he, you know, first entered the league.
Dave Pignota, our guest. It's I really don't know how to handicap this race anymore, as we've coined it and we've been talking about. It's the unamazing race. But yeah. St. Louis is certainly running away with things. And what's making this more interesting now is Minnesota. And Paul Fenton's been given the go-ahead to trade off, sell off pieces, should he feel that that's the best way forward for that club. What do you think happens in Minnesota? And will Fenton, you know, move off of not only Eric Staal, but potentially even some of the bigger pieces that could be expiring over, not this year, but maybe even next year, like a Jared Spurgeon or, you know, some of those guys?
Yeah, his mindset is long-term. It's not just a matter of making the playoffs, and yeah, that'd be great, but he's made it clear that his mindset is to do what's in the best interest of the hockey team beyond this season, well beyond this season. So that's why they have some interest. They have some actual, you know, some very serious interest in Eric Staal. And he was pretty strategic in how he set up his 10-team no-trade list, but there are a couple of teams that are believed to not be on it, like the Winnipeg Jets and the New York Islanders, that have knocked around and you know, expressed their interest in Eric Staal. So, it could really go either way. There have been, from my understanding, ongoing dialogue between GM and Staal and agent to kind of let him know exactly how this process may pretend, you know, may unfold. Here are some of the latest developments. So at the very least, Staal's camp is in the know. But that's, like you said, one piece. They have other elements in play here. And if Paul Fenton can piece together a hockey-type trade that perhaps involves Spurgeon or somebody else on that roster that's signed beyond this season, he's certainly going to consider it, or at least get the ball rolling for some potential moves in the summer. You know, a lot of teams that are in this, you know, not necessarily predicament, but have players that have terms still on their deal that are engaged in trade discussions now, utilize this time to kind of set the bar to revisit those discussions closer to June. And you know, come the draft floor in Vancouver, it's going to be certainly interesting to see how some of these teams utilize this time so that they can finalize some deals down the road.
Yeah, Dave, we've heard that a lot of teams are in a holding pattern until they figure out what's going on with Artemi Panarin and, of course, Mark Stone. Would Minnesota be in that boat as well? They're not going to maybe deal Eric Saul until they know what guys like that are going to get those teams?
I think more so than anything, I think it's if the best offer comes along, then I don't think Paul Fenton's going to hesitate. It's really going to come down to the other teams more so than anything. I don't think he's necessarily waiting. I think it's, like you said, some of the other teams that are primarily looking at what's happening with the Ottawa Senators. And my understanding is starting basically, you know, today, they're going to start taking their trade talks into higher gear with all the teams that are interested in their players, primarily, obviously, Mark Stone and Matt Duchene. They're going to look at these guys saying, all right, well, we're still in our little situation where we're trying to get these guys to sign, still trying to convince them to stay here long term, but we have to be more serious about the trade discussions. And this isn't the first time. I think we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago. About a little over a month ago, teams were knocking on the door of Pierre Dorion to see what it would take or what the potential price tag may be. So he's done his due diligence going back to a little over a month. Now he's going to ramp things up, and that's going to get the ball rolling as a whole across the board. So if you're a team like Minnesota, if the right offer comes along and you're comfortable, I'm not expecting them to get a first-round pick for Eric Staal, but maybe a second and a third or 2 seconds or something to that effect. I'm sure that that would be enticing enough if it's the right environment, because they want to do right by Eric Staal as well. But for a team like Minnesota, if they get the right offer now, they'll certainly jump on it. And the other big boys, you know, that's up to the other teams to make those decisions.
Of these teams in the wild card race, do you see any as being a buyer, whether it's Dallas or Colorado, maybe Chicago, any of those teams?
Yeah, Dallas, certainly. Dallas is looking and has been looking for a little while for additional secondary scoring. Now, they're interesting because they want to be active in the free agent market. They've got a ton of cap space, almost $20 million of cap space that they'll have available to them in the summer, and that's going to allow them to pursue some free agents. My understanding is they'd like to shore up their second line and have a legitimate second unit that can go out there and bail out guys like Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn and Alex Radulov. So I could certainly see them being active in the summer. They are now. They want to see if they can create some moves or be in a position to add a body or two to the team now to solidify that secondary scoring and solidify their positioning in the postseason. They're tied with St. Louis right now in points, but the Blues have a game in hand. That's why they're in the third slot in the Central. They've dipped a little bit. They want to maintain that pace. They want to keep things going, and they're certainly going to be active. I don't know if they'll be as active as the other teams because of how much space and how active they're expected to be in the summer. But Jim Neal, their GM, is definitely burning the phone lines.
So we've been hearing a lot of news on coming out of Edmonton. They got to free up some salary when Andre Sekera is back. But today, reports coming out that they're open to trading Jesse Puljujarvi again. This is not a salary play, so where's this coming from?
Yeah, this is spreading the word to the rest of the league to say that, yeah, we are looking at making some hockey-type moves. We're looking at making some additions to the roster and to make some significant impacts to the team. There's no question about that. It's going to be interesting to see exactly if this turns into a play before the trade deadline on the 25th. But without a doubt, this is Keith Gretzky, their AGM and management out there, putting out a message to the rest of the team, the rest of the league, to say, hey, if you're interested in making some moves, if you're interested in some of our players, we've got a key piece here. We want to improve our club. If you're serious about him, he's available. Let's talk.
What do you think that cost is? Is it like, you know, our broken prospect for your broken prospect type of thing?
I think it's a combo play, to be honest. I think this is a position for Edmonton because of how much. Now, I'm not, you know, anticipating them going, and I don't think they're in of the same mindset where they're going to be looking at making an addition now so that they can go on a huge run down the stretch. I think this is still long-term thinking beyond this season anyway. But I believe it's more so them being in a position to package up a guy like Puljujarvi and perhaps another asset or two to bring in a significant impact player for this team, not just now, but somebody who's going to, you know, be controllable for a few years. I think that's more so the play for the Edmonton Oilers, where they've got a key asset in Puljujarvi that they're very high on, but they can add some pieces to this and bring in an impact player to Edmonton. I think that's the primary goal for the Oilers. If they are to move this guy, I certainly don't see him being the primary piece in an overall trade. He's going to be something that's packaged together to bring in a pretty significant asset back to Edmonton if they can pull it off.
Also on Edmonton, we've heard a lot about Cam Talbot. Is there something close on that front?
It's getting there. I know that the Philadelphia Flyers, their general manager Chuck Fletcher, is going to be, if he hasn't done it already, is going to be speaking with Keith Gretzky today to at least get an update on exactly how that's going. Now, my understanding is it's very close, but there's been a little bit of hesitation from Philadelphia's side, so they're going to try to figure things out. If it doesn't happen, obviously, there's you know, the Oilers will go back to the drawing board on that. They're set on trading him. The Oilers management sat down with Cam Talbot earlier this week, had a discussion about where he's at, and have basically told him, if we can find the right opportunity for you to play more this season, we're going to do it. So they're keen on trading him. They're trying to make that happen. I suspect if we don't see an answer or some type of deal with Philadelphia tonight, it may happen tomorrow. If it doesn't happen by midday, you're probably looking at other options from Cam Talbot's perspective.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Dave Pignota of the Fourth Period. Dave, we had the expectation, because Pierre Dorion said that he expected to know the situation with Matt Duchene and Mark Stone as of Wednesday. Well, Wednesday came and went, and we still don't know what's going on there. Any progress on those two guys and whether where those negotiations sit?
Not really. It sounds like the number surrounding Matt Duchene is 8 years for around $8 million, or actually $8 million a season over 8 years. But he's made it clear that it's not really money that's the issue. It's exactly what's happening with the franchise, and I'm not sold that they're sold on the plan in place, or at least wanting to be part of that plan. It's two more years, guys, after their season before they start entering contender status. I don't think that's something Matt Duchene wants to go through, and I'm hearing more pushback on Stone's side. Now, these two, like I said earlier, they're going to continue the dialogue from a contract perspective, but trade talks are going to be picking up as of this weekend from Ottawa's perspective, because they basically have to. I still don't understand how they've waited to this point on both of these guys. It boggles my mind, but that's what they're doing in Ottawa, so fine. Now they have to deal with this. And they've got, you know, effectively 11 days as of today, or technically just under that, before the trade deadline to figure things out. Because of the discussions, the trade perspective discussions that the Senators had over a month ago, to at least get an idea, or at least give teams an idea of what they'd be looking at least they've done their due diligence on that front. So it's not a mad rush over these next 10 days down to the trade deadline wire. But it's going to be interesting to see how this goes. I'm still now a subscriber of the fact that they'll be traded along with Ryan Dzingel and perhaps another asset. Magnus Puljujärvi is another guy that's out there. Bobby Ryan, they're still talking to teams about trying to move him and a few other pieces, Zach Smith and so on. So it's certainly busy times for the Ottawa Senators, and obviously in Winnipeg yesterday, in there again today to check out the AHL club. They play the Senators, the Jets do tomorrow. Yeah, things are definitely heating up and percolating on the Sens front.
Dave Pignota, our guest. You mentioned Dallas as a team that's already looking at the summer as a place that they really want to make an addition. And I'm kind of it had me thinking, you know, there's a lot of teams right that are looking at July 1 right now and saying,
yeah,
are Carlson, Duchene, Stone, and Panarin all going to get there on July 1? This is unprecedented. We haven't seen this kind of a July 1, this kind of a star power level July 1 in a long, long time.
Yeah, no, we haven't. There's a ton of potential there, and there's been no discussions, no significant discussions anyway from a contract perspective involving Carlson and the Sharks. They've been categorized to me as simply general discussions, general talks. They had a brief discussion around All-Star Weekend, but again, nothing that is remotely close to serious. And some people are using the excuse, well, they can't sign an 8-year deal until after February 25th after the trade deadline anyway. Yeah, that's great. You can still talk well in advance. They haven't done that. There's nothing planned as of now. So, yeah, you're kind of looking at the potential for Erik Karlsson leading the charge as a defenseman and all these guys up front being available as well. Yeah, you're right. This has the potential to be a ridiculously hectic July 1st. And that week from the end of the draft to July 1, where teams are allowed to talk to free agents and not share numbers, you know, wink, wink. This has the potential to be a really, really exciting end of June, beginning of July around the National Hockey League. And you're right, teams are prepping for this. They're looking at this going, all right, well, if, you know, we know Panarin's hitting the market. Karlsson hasn't had his discussions yet. Stone, Duchesne, Kevin Hayes as well, Matt Zuccarello, those guys are going to be hitting the open market. Wayne Simmons, same situation, isn't going to be getting an extension with the Philadelphia Flyers. So teams are making these preparations. You look at, you know, some clubs like the Montreal Canadiens that have a ton of cap space. They're going to be active come, you know, free agency to try to lure somebody over to Quebec and to Montreal. Same with the Dallas Stars and so on and so on. So it's going to be, you know, as much as teams are prepping now, the contenders are prepping now for a run at the Stanley Cup. The other teams are looking at this as a great opportunity for them to pounce, because a lot of these guys, you know, Mark Stone's 26 years old. If you're the New York Rangers with a ton of cap space, that's a prime candidate for you to pounce on.
Sportsnet 650.